Welcome back to Whence Came You, a Masonic podcast featuring research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry. Here's your host, Brother Robert Johnson.
This is episode 307. It's going to be a quick show this week. We've got two pieces that I'd like to read for you that are both really excellent pieces that we've selected both from an issue of The Craftsman from 1866, as well as a more modern piece that got quite a bit of traction over the last week with the Midnight Freemasons, something Brother Bill Hosler put together. I should have had Frottero this week. We are recording the episode later this evening, which will be of great significance. We're going to have an episode about something called The Secrets in You, and it should be a really fun ride. Additionally, I did have award-winning author Bull Garlington on, who is a past master as well from Chicago, come on with Mike Jarzabek, who is a phenomenal brother who served as a DDGM and also is a Star Wars fanatic. Now, we come at the Star Wars angle once again with these two kind of seeming experts, as it were. That conversation will be coming up in the next few weeks as well, and I've got another great interview lined up, and that's going to be with Brother Stephen L. Harrison. That'll be our Ask Me Anything episode, which will be quite amazing. I've already got a ton of questions for Steve. Without any further ado, I'd like to go into this week's first piece, which is called Golden Sentences. Now, when I heard the title, the first thing that popped into my head was The Golden Verses of Pythagoras. Maybe, maybe not. Let's read on. The Craftsman, 1866, from an address by DeWitt Clinton before Holland Lodge, the evening of his installation, December 24th, 1793. His definition of Freemasonry. It is well known that our order was at first composed of scientific and ingenious men who assembled to improve the arts and sciences and cultivate a pure and sublime system of morality. Knowledge at that time was restricted to a chosen few, but when the invention of printing had opened the means of instruction to all ranks of people, then the generous cultivators of Masonry communicated with cheerfulness to the world those secrets of the arts and sciences which had been transmitted and improved from the foundation of the institutions. Then our fraternity bent their principal attention to the cultivation of morality. And Masonry may now be defined as a moral institution intended to promote individual and social happiness. The quality of Masonry. Our institution asserts in language not to be misunderstood the natural quality of mankind. It declares that all brethren are upon a level, and it throws open its hospitable doors to all men of all nations. It admits of no rank except the priority of merit, and its only aristocracy is the nobility of virtue, the onerous cares of the master. Sensible I am that it is surrounded with difficulties and embarrassments, that it requires promptitude of expression, quickness of thought, and presence of mind, and that it demands conciliatory manners and instantaneous perception of character and a considerable knowledge of mankind. The beneficent work of Masonry. How often has it showered down its golden gifts into the seemingly inaccessible dungeons of misery? How often has it radiated with its beneficent rays the glooms of affliction and converted its horrors of despair into the meridian splendor of unexpected joy? How often has it, with its philanthropic voice, recalled the unhappy wanderer into the paths of felicity, and with its powerful arm protected from the grasp of malice and oppression the forlorn outcast of society? Let the widow, the orphan, the prisoner, the debtor, the unfortunate witness its beneficent deeds, and in a symphony of gratitude declare that on the flight of all other virtues, charity as well as hope remained to bless mankind. The duties of a Mason to his brother. A Mason is bound to consult the happiness and to promote the interests of his brother, to avoid everything offensive to his feelings, to abstain from the reproach of censure and unjust suspicions, to warn him of time machinations of his enemies, to advise him of his errors, to advance the welfare and reputation of his family, to protect the charity of his house, to defend his life, his property, and what is dearer to a man of honor, but his character, against unjust attacks, to relieve his wants and his distresses, to instill into his mind proper ideas of conduct in the department of life which he is called to fill, and let me add, to foster his schemes of interest and promotion, if compatible with the paramount duties a man owes to the community. If such are the obligations which a man owes to a brother, they are precisely the duties that one Freemason ought to perform to another. Our order enjoins them as rules from which nothing can justify a deviation, and considers their infraction a violation of honor, conscience, and religion, a prostitution of all that is deemed sacred and venerable among men. But Masonry does not confine her precepts to her followers. She rises higher in the scale of excellence, and enjoins the observance of honor, honesty, and good faith to all men. She espouses the cause of universal benevolence and virtue. She declares as unworthy of her patronage those who violate the laws of rectitude, and her votaries exemplify in their lives the truth of the remark that although there are vicious men in the fraternity, yet they are better than if they were not Masons. The religion of Masonry, as Christian Masons, acknowledging the divinity of Christ, we have introduced the Bible into our lodge to manifest our belief in the doctrines which it inculcates. In like manner, the followers of Moses, Muhammad, and Burma may introduce into their Masonic assemblies their Pentateuch, their Alcoran, and their Vedan. And yet, the unity of Masonry would remain. The essential principles on which she moves would be the same. She would still declare to her votaries, "I regard not to what sect you attach yourselves. Venerate the popular religion of your respective countries. Follow the light of your understanding. Forget not, however, the doctrines of the religion of nature. Adore the great architect of the universe. Acknowledge the immortal soul and look forward to a state of future retribution when the virtues of all religions and countries shall meet together and enjoy never-fading bliss." And that's the end of this piece. Now, there are some religious overtones there in the piece, and overall, I think the piece is very good. It does speak to Masonry in a good light, and I think it was an interesting address as far back as 1866, but I remember the address was given in 1793 on Christmas Eve, actually. But it was very well written, and I think the message there, again, although somewhat with the Christian overtone at the end, the overarching theme, I think, in those last couple paragraphs actually espouses the idea of how great the fraternity is and that we can mix and mingle. Many men of many faiths under one roof. And in that, it's probably pretty awesome. So next I have a segment where we posted on the Midnight Freemasons. This one's by Bill Hosler, past master, and it's titled Spreading Cement. But actually, there's a question mark there, so spreading cement? Let's go ahead and take a look. Quote, "The trowel is an instrument made use of by operative Masons to spread the cement which unites a building into one common mass. But we as free and accepted Masons are taught to make use of it for a more noble and glorious purpose, of spreading the cement of brotherly love and affection, that cement which unites us into one sacred bond or society of brothers, among whom no contention should ever exist, but that noble emulation of who can best work and best agree." End quote. I was recently watching a home improvement show on TV. The host was explaining to his audience that when most people refer to the slurry which hardens and creates a hard, unmoving mass, they call it cement. However, they are actually creating and using concrete, or mortar. Cement is actually just one compound in creating concrete. It is a binder which holds all of the ingredients of the mass together. It's no secret our fraternity is now smaller than it was after World War II. Some say the large numbers who joined during the conflict had been an anomaly, that the number of men who hold membership in our gentlecraft is supposed to be small. Others believe the decline in membership is a cause for alarm, and the fraternity needs to try to bring those numbers of members back to the quote-unquote post-war numbers, or even to surpass them at all costs. Freemasonry has been trying to replace these lost members for nearly half of a century, trying everything in their power to entice new members into knocking on our doors of the lodges. Slogans like "To be one, ask one," and "I am committed, now are you," offering one-day classes, discounts on dues, even premiums like t-shirts or sunshades for your automobile have brought some new men into our fraternity, but for one reason or another, they have all left the quarries to seek what they're looking for elsewhere. We keep asking ourselves why. Maybe much like the concrete we have been calling cement by mistake, we are offering these men something we call Freemasonry, but which doesn't measure up to the expectations that we've laid out. If you ask any builder, a sure way to weaken a building that you're making is to substitute the quality of ingredients of concrete with inferior ingredients. Sadly, many buildings have been destroyed over the years by using shoddy building materials in order to maximize profit or to lower the price of a bid in an order to get the work. These inferior materials may stay in place long enough to complete that building, but after a while, the entire edifice will begin to crumble and eventually collapse. Usually, sadly, many unsuspecting souls who are occupying the building can lose their lives to the builder's greed or incompetence. Slowly, our fraternity has been replacing the quality ingredients which creates the strong concrete which has held our fraternity together, and has replaced them with inferior materials, or left them out of the slurry altogether. From the late 19th century, when a few intolerant, quote-unquote, temperance zealots thoroughly removed refreshment while ignoring the virtue of temperance by convincing the Grand Lodge to remove all alcoholic beverages from our meetings and temples, we've slowly been replacing the quality ingredients that made a lodge successful, which, in my opinion, has been causing the cracks in our once solid foundation. We have further weaned our fraternity by replacing dues which paid the bills of our lodges and paid for the maintenance of our buildings by offering Freemasonry as cheaply as human possible and replacing the money by holding fundraisers which no one volunteers for and which are rarely patronized even by the members. The once fantastic food that the lodge members enjoyed on fine china placed on a beautifully pressed linen tablecloth has given way to bologna sandwiches and potato chips on a floppy paper plate washed down with warm iced tea or cold coffee. At one point in our history, the brethren gathered into beautiful, ornate lodge rooms. They sat quietly while the lodge organist would play a light tune before lodge was opened, and a thoughtful evening of discussion and learning made the men feel spiritually fulfilled. Sadly, today we get badly performed a ritual done by a brother who was asked at the last minute to fill in for the chair. Once lodge is opened, the process of listening to several sets of minutes from previous meetings be read in a monotone voice by Brother Secretary while the treasurer gets prepared to tell the lodge how much money they don't have. As an added bonus, you get to spend the rest of the evening arguing over the cost of the lodge's bills and then vote to pay them, even though everyone there knows these bills were already paid several weeks ago. The rest of the evening is begging for volunteers for fundraisers or to fix a piece of the building that has fallen down, and everyone tries to escape as quickly as possible. The last one out of the building, please shut off the lights. The last ingredient which remains, the cement, has been reduced to young men hearing, "Back in the 60s, we had fun. You should have been here then." When the young man suggests reviving these old traditions or starting new traditions, they are stopped cold. They're told, "We couldn't do that," or the ever-popular Grand Lodge won't allow it. Eventually, these young living stones fall out of the Masonic edifice because their mortar, which binds them there, isn't strong enough to hold them into place. The young men who are looking to join are looking for those quality materials we tell the world we build. They are looking for education, enlightenment, a sense of brotherhood and friendship, a reason that they are on this planet. They have been told that Freemasonry makes good men better. That is what they are looking for. Brethren, if we want a strong fraternity which will stand up to the storms and the trials of the coming centuries, we have to replace the inferior building materials with the things which made us the strong fraternity we once were. Bill Hosler. And I think there's a lot of truth in Bill's piece. I think we have, on numerous occasions, using cheap building materials, or rather, we're using cheap gimmicks and things to get men in, when in fact, we should be using the quality ingredients, and even though it might cost a little more, or in this example, take a little more effort, we should do that. How many times have you heard of multiple class degrees where up to 3 men, or maybe even more, are placed at the altar at the same time to receive a degree? Here in Illinois, we have this statute that basically says we can have up to 3 candidates at the altar at any given time, and then you can do the second section as a class. Now, here's my issue is, what are we telling the candidate when we do that? Especially when there's only 2 guys. You hold both of them at the altar at the same time. Aren't we just telling them, hey, the lodge wants to save 22 minutes, so instead of doing 2 first sections and a second section for a lecture, we're just going to do 1 first section. You know, because the lodge needs that 22 minutes. Guys don't want to really be here. Really? I really feel that's what it's saying, and I think it's kind of sad. So that's just my two cents. I thank Brother Bill for his excellent piece and his awesome work as always. This piece got a tremendous feedback, lots of comments, and tons of views. He has a unique way of putting things, and I really do appreciate it, Brother Bill. Everything you do is always just top-notch. Thank you so much for your contribution and for all that you do for this fraternity. Now that's that. So, if you like this show, please consider making a contribution to the program by heading to wcypodcast.com and hovering over the Support the Show link. There you can click to make a direct donation to the show, whether that's a one-time thing or a reoccurring gift. You're allowed to do that as well. We have a limited edition shop where you can pick up our lapel pins, our cufflinks, tie bars, and money clips. We've got an account with Onnit Labs, which is where I like to go for optimization products, specifically Alpha Brain and Hemp Force Protein are my two favorite things there. Some great supplements, so check it out. You can just click on the link there, use the promo code WCY at checkout, and go through our links, and you'll get 10% off, and they will contribute a little bit of the sale back to the show. Nothing is marked up, of course, it's just the standard pricing. It helps keep the lights on, and it helps you optimize yourself, and it's just an all-around win-win. In addition, we do have something even better. We've got a company that we're working with, that we've worked to develop products with, that is Bankers Best. So if you go to buybankersbest.com and check out some of those amazing products, use the promo code BBWCY357 at checkout, and you'll actually get 20% off. Now, there are a couple pieces on the Bankers Best website that if you purchase, you will actually contribute to the program by way of every sale that's made of things like King Solomon's Reserve. 50% of the proceeds come back to the program. So 50% of the proceeds, that's pretty amazing, and it's super generous by Brother Levi Banker. We can't thank him enough for all that he's done for our show. Thank you so much. And we've also got a Thrive account. So if you're into Thrive, you know what that is. Check it out. If not, go over there and click on the link, WCY and Thrive, and check it out. And of course, it's all brought to you by our producers. You can read the whole list of our contributors. And just a note that if you are checking our producers wall, or previously the donor wall, there should be a call out there. We have a little asterisk next to names where extraordinary contributions have come through. And so pay close attention to that, because these guys with these significant donations have made so much possible that we just can never thank you enough. And you know, we can't thank any of our supporters enough, because this really is a huge effort brought forth through your desire for listener-supported education. So again, appreciate all of the love. Thank you so much. And if you like this program, again, go ahead and check out some of our friends, right? The Midnight Freemasons, where you'll find three new Masonic pieces three times a week. Sometimes we do a repost or a little blurb about something we posted in the past, but for the most part, three articles every single week, Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. You can just go to midnightfreemasons.com and check it out. And there's, of course, the Masonic Roundtable going live every Tuesday, 10, 9 central. And you can interact live with us the nights that we go out. And Masonic Radio Theater. Yep, it's still around. It is one of my favorite projects that I've not completed. In fact, I just got an email the other day saying, when are you going to finish up the Lodge of Gold series? I'm not saying I'm working on it. I'm saying I'm thinking about working on it. It is a project in itself, and it does take a lot of time. But thank you for the patience and for not killing me, for leaving you all hanging on part one of a three-part series. But with that, thank you all so much for listening, and I'll talk to you all next week. Until then, stay on the level. For Whence Came You, I'm Robert Johnson.
You've been listening to Whence Came You, a Masonic podcast featuring research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry with your host, Brother Robert Johnson. Be sure to join us for our next edition.